Those staying with me can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I believe I went down through, past that. About verse 21. Am I right? Let's just begin starting. Let's start reading at verse 20 then. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called there and abide with God. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. As we open your word, we know the best advice we can get is from this word. Just give us the wisdom, Lord, to apply it to our individual lives today. Lord, if there's somebody here that does not know you as Savior and Lord as yet, we pray that they would come to a conviction that they need to know Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, that they would be saved. I pray for every child of God here, whatever needs and burdens they might have, I pray that you would suit your word to their individual need. Amen. Give us freedom and ease. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's answering some questions that these Corinthians had asked him. And so he's gotten to several of them so far. We've talked about sex and marriage, that it's not a sin. He's talked about being free. And here he's talking about what kind of work you did, what kind of person you were when you got saved. Now, some people might think, well, since you've become a Christian, now you've got to change everything. And there are a lot of people that there's some teaching like that going out. You know, you need to leave everything back there. But if you were a carpenter, making your living as a carpenter, you don't have to change it and become a priest or something else. You don't have to be a priest or a preacher to do the will of God and do the work of God. And he's talking about whatever calling. Now, we said some people have run this to extremes and into stupidity. If you were called being a prostitute, well, you're still a prostitute. Well, that's ridiculous.
That's right.
I mean, he hadn't changed things on sin, you understand? So, yeah, there might be some of you that this wouldn't apply to. Maybe you need to get out of the profession you were in.
That's right.
You were in a bad profession. You were in one that's sin. Well, then he's not telling you to stay in sin.
That's right.
What he's telling you is you don't have to move into a different social class to be a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
And the main thing, he's emphasized it a couple of times already in this chapter. If you were called being a Gentile, you don't become a Jew.
That's right.
Okay, now I'm a Christian, now I have to go back and be a Jew. No, that's not. There were some teachers in his day that taught that. He wrote the book of Galatians to answer that.
That's right.
No, if you were called being a Jew, well then, it doesn't change. You're still going to celebrate your days. You're still going to think in that way. You're probably still going to eat the same things that you ate. And so maybe not a lot will change. But by the same token, if you were called, he says, the circumcision, that's the Jewish nation, and the uncircumcision would be all other nations besides the Jews. And so he's telling you, if you're circumcised, don't try to become uncircumcised in your social life and your things. And by the same token, if you were saved when you were a Gentile, you were uncircumcised, then don't try to become like the Jew.
That's right.
So whatever calling you were saved in, why, there and abide.
Amen.
If you're a barber, well, be a barber. If you're a farmer, be a farmer. All work is honorable.
Yes. Amen.
Everything I read in the Bible, all work is honorable.
Right. Yes.
It may be dirty, nasty, ugly work, but it's honorable.
Yes,
we need
Amen.
It. Think where we'd be if we didn't have a bunch of vultures and beetles.
That's right.
We'd be in real trouble.
Amen.
They are a great asset to us. Now, we don't like to have one as a pet.
Right.
You know, you don't want one sitting out here on your back thing like your cockatoo. Here's my buzzard, you know. What do you feed him? Well, we go out and pick up bodies and bring them in and drop them in the backyard. No. All right. Art thou being called a servant? Don't worry about it. And here again would be something. Suppose you're a slave. Well, many slaves got saved. In this country. Now, I know somebody might get me for being politically incorrect, but one of the greatest blessings are those slaves that lived and came here and heard the gospel, maybe more so over some that never heard the gospel and died without it. And out of the black community, there are many Christians, many people that are saved. And John Jasper, if you've never read anything about him, he was a slave, became a preacher. He was a preacher before he could read or write. His wife taught him to read or write. And he answered the problem of Calvinism. He just took care of it. He said, it's real simple. It's election. And he says, the devil votes against you, the Lord votes for you, and whichever way you vote, that's the way the election goes. And by the way, he preached in a lot of white churches even in his day, right after the Civil War. He's an interesting character. I don't know whether you can get a book on him now or not, but I had one or two, and I don't know where they are now. I probably lent them to one of you. Probably it's over at your house. You said, oh, I like that book. I won't tell off on you, Claire Lee. Where are you? But at any rate, art thou called being a servant? Don't worry about it. Not a big deal. So you're a slave down here. You're the Lord's free man.
Amen.
And by the way, are you saved when you're free and you're free and you're proud of it? Yeah, I'm an American. I was born an American. Never been enslaved to anybody. Well, he said, you're the Lord's servant. It's a matter of how your attitude is toward the Lord.
Amen.
Even when he was talking at the very first of this chapter about the marriage relationship, he makes it very clear we're to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Not just our own interest. One of the things about being an American is we are very interested in our own interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are generous. As this thing in Haiti, they've got so much coming in. The problem is they can't get it to the people. There's no roads. There's no infrastructure. There's no policemen. And so you're having riots and problems when you get a little food out there. And just like all around the world, it's been that way with all the aid help that we've given over the years, is the gangs take it over. And you have to have almost a police force to keep the thing working and moving. And they need to get the roads to get back in. I really feel for them. We need to pray for them, man.
Yes.
That they will get, we've got plenty of soldiers, we've got plenty of planes and helicopters and stuff like that. What they need is to be able to get it to the people. It was the same thing, Katrina.
Yes.
You couldn't get to the people that had the need. And so they get a lot of complaining when people are doing the best they can to try to get it there. So we have to take some of these things into consideration and pray that they get some semblance of government to where they can clear the roads and get back to the people that are there.
That's right.
I don't know what brought that on. All right, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. And that's a tremendous statement that would apply in all areas of life. As a Christian, there's some things responsibilities and obligations that I have, and yet, if I'm set free from certain things, then I'm freer to serve the Lord.
That's right.
And so, the same way, if you had an obligation as a slave or a servant to serve your master, well, as a Christian, you ought to be a better slave.
That's right.
Not a runaway slave, a better servant. But by the way, if you can be made free, use it rather.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So they have a lot of things today. Somebody says, well, you're a preacher of the gospel. You shouldn't be any better than Jesus. He rode on a donkey. What are you doing in that Mercury? Well, I know some people that have this kind of idea in their minds.
Yeah.
Well, this verse right here handles it as far as I'm concerned. If you may have a Mercury to drive, use it rather. If you don't have to ride on a donkey or a horse, praise the Lord. If you don't have to walk, praise the Lord. Amen. If you can fly in an airplane, praise the Lord. Don't have a problem with that. So use it rather. And that would apply in many areas. If you have a certain amount of freedom, if you have a certain amount of wealth, you have a certain amount of opportunity, we're all going to have some individual opportunities in life. We're not all going to be alike. All of us are not going to be restricted alike. All of us are not going to have an opportunity to just drop in our lap, as some people will. But if that happens to you, use it. Everything is for the glory of God. Everything is to please God. And so, even in this marriage relation, and what he's going to talk about in these next few verses, he said, "You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called there and abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment." Here it is again as we went through these verses before. There's four or five verses in this chapter where Paul says, I'm not speaking as from a commandment from the Lord, but I'm giving my advice and I think I have the Spirit of God. Well, I don't know what you think, but I think he had the Spirit of God too.
Amen.
So wherever I read him, I believe Paul. Especially anything written in this book.
Amen.
I believe he was put here to write what he wrote. And that what he went through was for the blessing of the whole church, not just the individual church that got that particular letter.
That's right.
Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I would believe if you read the life of Paul, he's a faithful man.
That's right. Amen.
There are not a lot of people. When I think of a fellow named John McCain, I think of a faithful man.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, who is going to challenge his patriotism?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. You look at that and you say, he deserves some respect. I need to get out of his way. He can walk in front of me.
Amen.
Any day of the week.
That's right.
So a man like Paul, what he did for Christ, he's in a prison cell and he writes some of the most beautiful letters ever written.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest advice.
That's right.
Philippians is my joy book.
Amen.
If I have a down day, I read Philippians. I go to Philippians 4, 4 through 8, more than any other part, and I just say on any given day, and some of you may ask me, say, well, I don't know what to pray for. He said, let your request be made known unto God.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever you want, you can pray for.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't badmouth you for praying for anything.
That's right.
Paul writes that sitting in a jail cell waiting to die.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to discount him? I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. I don't say he's the greatest Christian that ever lived. Some people have claimed that. It might be true. I don't know. I doubt we probably know the greatest Christian.
That's right.
Their name's probably not written in the Bible anywhere.
That's right.
They're probably not on anybody's list, and CNN isn't interviewing them this week.
That's right.
But God knows who it is.
That's right. Yeah.
You and I may brag on somebody, and next week they just fall flat on their face.
That's right.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so we need to be careful about that. But here's a man. He went through his life lifting up Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not supposed to be lifting up the preacher or even lifting up the missionary. We'd lift up Christ.
Amen.
That's the preacher's job and the missionary's job. Lift up Christ.
Amen.
That's their job all along. So you're going to talk about virgins, unmarried young ladies. And he said, I don't have a commandment of the Lord. That's the same thing as we've had throughout this chapter.
Right.
About four times he's brought that up. I'm giving you my opinion. I don't have a commandment that I'm going back to, but I think I have the Spirit of God, and I've thought this through. Here's what I think.
That's right.
I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Single, he's talking about. Celibate.
Yeah.
The present distress. Evidently, they're going through a tough time for Christians. Now, he makes a couple of statements in here. At the end of verse 28, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, and I spare you. And there's another one down here a little ways. But let's deal with this one right here. Trouble in the flesh. You get married, you got double trouble in the flesh. Just being alive, you got trouble in the flesh. Don't you? You get up with this cedar fever around here? Tell me you don't have trouble in the flesh? That's trouble in the flesh, brother. Your nose is running, your eyes are burning, and everybody, your head's about to crack and pop out, and you don't even want to get out of bed, much less walk outside the house. Trouble in the flesh. Well, don't you have enough trouble by yourself? Well, let's multiply that, like me. I get me a lovely little 18-year-old wife. I got double trouble in the flesh. And then we have five kids. Someone said, I think it's Bill Cosby said that if you only have one kid, you don't count as a parent because there's something broken. You know who broke it.
Yeah.
But when you got five and all of them are saying he, she, then you got some problems. Even two brings up problems. It's amazing how kids, and you think you're getting smarter. I've got three. I know how to do it now. That fourth one will come along and slip it to you gently. They will fool you. Raising kids? Oh, goodness gracious. Am I glad I'm as old as I am? My kids are grown. Praise the Lord. I feel for you that are going through it right now. I sympathize because I went through it before you. But seriously, what are we talking about? We're talking about trouble in the flesh. Now, when I'm just me, and I've got a job, and my boss gets a little horsey, I can say, take this job and shove it. Hasta luego, hasty banana. Have a good time. But when I got a wife and three or four kids, I can't do that.
That's right.
Because I don't just have my problems to contend with, I got a wife and all those kids.
Yeah.
They just kept coming. We never figured out what the problem was. Got a wife and all those kids. And bless your heart, they drink more milk. Milk's not cheap. Some of my boys, they drink a gallon a day. I'd buy 2 gallons of milk a day, plus orange juice. And of course, we had to give it to them. The little wife says they have to have milk. So we got to buy this milk and shove all this milk out. That's trouble in the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
That means I have to have a certain amount of money coming in just to pay the house. I got to pay the gas and all the other things like that. There's a lot of problems. Trouble in the flesh. I'm ready to go serve the Lord. I'm ready to head for the mission field. My pickup truck is all loaded. And Eddie is walking on the top of the fence at my daddy's house. Broken arm. Hospital, I mean doctors, got to set it. I cut it off in Guatemala. Think you're not going to have trouble in the flesh? Tell you what, had a pretty little 3-year-old girl, and she had long curly hair. She's in the back of that pickup with my great big dog. He was one big shepherd. And a real nice guy down in beyond Mexico City. He just wanted to touch her hair. And that 100-some-odd-pound dog leaps out the back of that pickup when that man just put his hand in to touch that hair. And I had to tackle my dog. He's in a biting mood. Trouble in the flesh. You got to protect your little girl. He wouldn't want to do anything bad to her. He was fascinated by it and just being nice like anybody would. I pet a little girl. I tease these kids coming in here all the time, shake their arms to see if there are any bones in there. I love playing with kids, but they're trouble in the flesh. And then when they go to school, they don't like the teacher or they don't like some kid. You never heard that? That ever come home to you? You got to go up and beat up this teacher, Daddy. Or you got to beat up the neighbor across the street, or excommunicate them from the neighborhood, or you got trouble in the flesh. That's what he's talking about. He's saying if you will stay single, you can pay your attention to the Lord and the Lord's work.
Amen.
If you take on a wife, or if you take on a husband, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. And when it comes time when you ought to be doing the Lord's work, you're not thinking too much about the Lord's work. You're thinking about how I may please my wife.
Yeah, that's right.
How can I do this so that she doesn't get mad?
Yeah.
You've never thought that way, have you? Liar. How can I do this so he won't get mad? If I do this, I know he's going to get mad at me. Wives have problems trying to please their husbands. Husbands have problems trying to please their wives. He said, I would have you without destruction. Now, this is Paul's reasoning through the rest of this chapter. He would have you without distraction. He would have you without the trouble in the flesh. Now, I'm going to say, first off, I don't think most of you can do it.
That's right.
I really don't. There may be two or three in this room that might live a life single, paying attention to the Lord, trying to serve the Lord, really working for the Lord, and make it without getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Most of you, my advice, you need a boy, you need a wife.
Yeah.
Girl, you need a husband.
That's right.
All you need is one.
That's right.
You don't need any more than one. One is more than enough to handle.
Amen.
You're going to have enough trouble trying to live with that one. Either one of you, whoever you are, you got enough trouble trying to live with that one. And then get a little time in to serve the Lord on the side. Paul was an unusual man. He was an unusual man, and then he was a celibate man, and he wanted to be that way. And nothing wrong with that. Praise God.
Amen.
He gave his time to the Lord. Most single men I've seen and single women I've seen do not do what Paul did.
That's right.
The president of the Bachelors to the Rapture Club.
That's right.
Here was a young soldier came into my church and going to be a bachelor to the rapture. He's got a string of kids coming out of here. Takes him two cars to bring them to church. Most of you were made to have a mate.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what he's trying to do is to set up the pattern.
That's right.
For single people to serve the Lord, and that's an honorable thing to do.
Amen.
That is an honorable thing to do. All of us should be using our time to serve the Lord. Some way. If you get old, why, you can still pray.
Yes.
You can pass out a few tracts. You can talk to a few people over the telephone.
Amen.
Maybe you can't do everything that you could do before, but you can give. You can support those that can do.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to the verse we had here. Verse 26, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Now, here's a good bit of advice. Seek not to be loosed.
That's right. Amen.
Now, some of you right now are thinking about being loosed. Big mistake.
Amen.
It ain't going to get any better. Excuse my English.
That's right.
It ain't going to get any better. Unless you make it better in your own home.
That's right.
You taking on a different partner because you think it's your partner's problem. You just got the wrong partner. That's what everybody thinks. I've been doing this 52 years. I have listened to a lot of people give me excuses why they're going to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost scarce as hen's teeth for somebody to say it's my fault.
Yeah.
preacher, it's all my fault. You realize how many times I've heard that? Not many.
That's right.
What happens is, Sister so-and-so comes to me and says, Brother Lindell, may I talk with you? Sure. And we go back to that room or another room around here, and she begins to tell me all the problems with her husband. How mean he is to her. How he mistreats her. How he abuses her. And I'm getting madder by the minute. I'm thinking, that dirty bird. Tell you what, we'll take him out behind the woodshed and just, we'll fix his attitude. So I make an appointment with him. And he tells me what a snot she is. And after I'm listening to him for a while, I make up my mind again. Don't ever talk to one of them by themselves.
That's right.
All of us shade things our way.
That's right.
When I preach, I make it look like Verlaine's the mean one. I've been doing that for years. Everybody loves Verlaine. The more I pick on her, the more people love her. But when they're there together, they'll call each other a liar.
That's right.
Right in front of you, but you get a better picture.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So years ago, I say, let's get you two together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Saves me a lot of time. You know why? We always think it's the other person's fault. Just might as well confess.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. We don't sing that old song, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. No, it's, you need to change my wife. Lord, if you'd make my wife more obedient, if you'd make my wife more responsive to me, if you'd make my wife, or we need to change my husband. You know, my husband's not very spiritual. He doesn't come to church very much. It might be because of you. I'm sorry, that was mean, wasn't it? In truth, we blame other people. You know what kids do? It was him. It was him. It was her. Not me. Not me. I also taught school for 20 years in a public school, so I've had a lot of it's him, it's her, not me. You have to make judgments on things like that. And as a pastor, you make judgments on things like that.
That's right.
All the time. I don't care how young you are and inexperienced you are, you're the pastor, you're going to make judgments like that.
That's right.
And you have to do it. And the truth is, most of us could work most of our problems out real easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
amen. They're not that big. The biggest problem is I, self.
Yes.
That's the biggest problem. That keeps us from doing most of the work for the Lord that we do, or that we don't do. Gets in our way. Maybe it gets in the way of the football game. Well, I can't do anything spiritual. I mean, I can't even go to church if the Super Bowl's on that night. Unless the church has a big video. We have a TV party. Isn't that ridiculous? I would just be so ashamed to walk up to the Lord and say, I didn't go to worship you Sunday night because the Super Bowl was on. Wouldn't you?
No,
nah, some of you would. You do it. Super Bowl ends up on a Sunday night and you don't show up to church. Now you all ought to show up to church on Super Bowl night just so I won't be able to accuse you.
Amen.
I'm working at it. All right. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. That's the first good bit of advice right there for you. You're in a marriage relationship? Don't seek to get rid of your wife. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now, most of the fellas loose from a wife are hunting big time.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they got internet sites all over. I mean, these things cover millions of people.
That's right.
29 dimensions to get you just the right wife for you. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now that's one bit of advice we don't take either.
That's right.
Maybe the reason why your last marriage wasn't so good was because of you.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you get a new marriage, it's going to be the same way. Because you haven't changed. That makes a problem. That makes a real problem. See, because the problem hasn't changed. But at any rate, I'm teasing a little bit there. Very good advice here. You got a wife? Quit trying to get rid of her.
That's right.
You're rid of a wife? Don't go seeking another one. I don't know that any of you will obey that. Verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If your wife has died, or you have been deserted, or some other something like that, says here, marriage isn't sin. It wasn't sin at the beginning of the chapter. Sex was not sin in marriage. Being married is not sinful. And right here, if you've been loose from a wife has died, passed away on you, and you get married again, you have not sinned.
That's right.
And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, and I spare you.
Right.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Daddy. You talk to your little 18-year-old, and you give her this advice and see if she listens to you. I'm trying to spare you trouble, honey. Oh, you don't know, I'm in love. I'm in love. It's an amazing thing. It's life.
That's right.
I sometimes think God has a sense of humor. Some of the things he lets happen and has happened in our lives, I mean, when you look back on it, it is funny.
Amen.
It really is. Okay, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So what he said, he's going to say it three or four times, I want to spare you the trouble that you're going to have. Now look at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Well, I preached that so long, Christy didn't think she's ever going to have a baby. I told her the rapture was going to take place. We were going to be flying out of here. We were never going to see the date 2000, probably neither 1991. Susanna thought she'd never finish school. She wanted to be a teacher. Now she's been a teacher for years. I was wrong. It wasn't as short as I thought it was. But Paul's using the same argument right here.
That's right.
The time is short.
That's right.
Well, it seemed like yesterday I was 40. And the day before that I was 20.
Yeah.
But no, I'm 73. Johnny's 78. I never thought you'd get that old, boy. What's your secret to life? Ah, there you go. Smart man. Very intelligent man. That man knew who he was living with.
Amen.
Time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, don't take this too literally. Don't take this too literally. You can sometimes read the Bible and read it wrong. And you can come up with a doctrine off the wall that you got no way to back up. This is true. That yes, though I have a wife, I need to be serving the Lord. The Lord still comes first, even when my wife has some problems, the Lord still should come first.
Amen.
Same way with your husband, ladies. The Lord comes before your husband.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, your husband doesn't think so because he thinks he's Lord. I got Verlene to call me Lord one time. And Jim Campbell was there to witness it. Lord Lindell. She doesn't call me Lord very often. I say, brethren, time is short. It remaineth that they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away, but I would have you without carefulness. It is true, the fashion of this world passeth away.
Yes.
Go over to Haiti today.
That's right.
Walk down their main street. Look at their government buildings. If you can get there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
If you can stand the stench of the dead bodies still laying in the streets that they can't get around to bury.
That's right.
Or the people with crushed bones and limbs and whatever that they can't get them to a doctor yet. I'd say time is short.
Yeah, that's right.
All of a sudden they woke up and it was a short day.
That's right.
Their plans for selling and buying and building and planning and whatever. And that's the way it is all over. Time is short. So, though I'm weeping today, wait a minute, what is my weeping in comparison to salvation for eternity? We need to take a little bit of stuff into consideration. What is my weeping or what is my triumph? What are you saying here? He's saying the time's short. We're going to be out of this before we know it. Let's do the Lord's work.
That's right.
Do what needs to be done. I'm amazed. I really am. I've never gotten over my amazement of how many people quit on the Lord because of hurt feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings. Now I know you know, you don't think I have any feelings so you can't hurt them. But you know, if I'd have quit because people hurt my feelings, wouldn't have made the first week. I've been doing this 52 years. Boy, I've been insulted by masters. Some of them really knew how to do it. Now, the truth of the matter is, what difference does it make? Big deal. Somebody doesn't like you. Well, that's been my whole life. My wife was talking to my sister. My sister said he was born mean. I didn't stand a chance. I got no break even from my sister. Right in my own house, she's right there saying, he's mean, he's mean. I love my sister. She loved me too, in spite of saying I was mean. She meant it though. I think my wife means it too. Some of you mean it. And you know, I lay awake all night crying about that. I really don't. Now, I think you ought to like me. I like me. In fact, I'd rather be around me than anybody I know. I sort of like me. I like my gospel.
Amen. Amen.
I like my Lord. I like my Bible.
Amen.
I like my church.
Amen.
And just because you hurt my feelings, I'm not going to quit coming.
Yeah.
If you churched me and disciplined me, I'd have to get me a seat back there at the back and just come and watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't let me teach you anymore, I'll come watch. Pray for you. Where in the world does your little hurt feelings come in with the will of God?
Yeah.
Where in the world does somebody not appreciating your gifts give you the right to say, I'm not going to serve God anymore. I'm not going to give my money anymore. I'm not going to come anymore. I don't ever go over that place again. I've walked up to the door of people, seen them through the glass, right the window going right back through the living room into the kitchen. They're there and they know it's me and they will not open the door. I don't know what I did. I must have really insulted them from the pulpit. Can you imagine hurt feelings doing that? But it does it all the time.
Yeah.
and its churches across this town
yeah.
and across this nation. We all got the same problem. We're dealing with people. People can be one of the greatest jobs in the world, but dealing with people can be one of the worst jobs in the world, too.
Mm-hmm.
But how about putting things in perspective? Are you for the gospel? Are you for the Word of God? Are you for evangelization and getting out around the world? Or are you just worried about your feelings? Well, if you're just worried about your feelings, go on down the road. You might find a church that's really interested in you.
Yeah.
Really worries about what you think. I worry about what God says.
Amen.
I hope you grow up enough spiritually to worry about what God says.
Yeah.
See, he's saying, I want to keep you without distraction. And so many things distract us. What other people say, the way they look. There were people that got mad at my wife and left the church and later on told me about it. Because she didn't shake their hand. She was playing the organ back over here before the church, and she was playing it till after the church, and they didn't go over there to her. You figure that out? Think about that. It's just so too stupid to even think.
Yeah.
Good night. Now, she's friendly. You just got to talk to her. She doesn't do much of the talking. She's a listener, a good listener. I'm a talker. She's a listener. If you're weeping, don't weep too hard. If you're rejoicing, don't get too high. You got to take it as those that wept not and those that rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. They that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. If it's a hurricane or an earthquake, you can see it passing away pretty quickly. Thank God it didn't happen right here. I'm thankful that I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and we don't have many earthquakes. We don't have many tornadoes. Some of those people up in Kansas and Oklahoma and North Texas, good night. Things come through there all the time. Some people built their houses again third time. You ought to thank God for what you have.
Amen.
And if you have that, you ought to use it to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Lord ought to come first.
Amen.
Not last.
Amen.
Okay, let's see. Look at verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that's unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now that's real simple. I guarantee you, if I didn't pay special attention to Verlene, it wouldn't be long. She'd be upset at me. And the same way about her. If she treated me like she treats you, oh man, I'd be upset and nothing flat. I'm your husband. You're supposed to love me. Well, that's exactly right. And that's what it's all about. So, he's saying in order to do for the Lord what you could, you'd be better off. You'd be without distractions. If you didn't have a wife and kids and a house and all sorts of stuff, all you'd have to do is pack a suitcase. Put it in FedEx and fly. Go somewhere and serve the Lord. With me, I had to pack everything up and load the kids up and pack them up in a trailer and take them through border crossings and whatever. You have to look out for things like that. So, the whole chapter is about you serving the Lord and not being distracted too much by this old world. Because the world is short. Things are going to pass away. The fashion of the world is going to pass away. Don't get too interested in all the championships. Don't get too interested in all the movie stars. I don't think there is a group that brags on themselves more than movie stars. They got the Globes. They got the Oscars. They got the SAG Awards. They got They always, and all these singers.
Yeah, that's right.
Really want to ruin a football game for me?
Yeah.
Get the Who to play.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Who are. Number two, I don't care.
That's right.
I really didn't want to learn.
Right.
I'm glad they got the Super Bowl on Sunday night. I won't be able to watch it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
They mess it up with all this stuff. What does that have to do with football? The Who?
Yeah.
I know some of you know who the Who are. Oh, that's all right. I know who Johnny Cash is. I knew who Tennessee Ernie Ford was. I knew who Elvis was. Is Elvis in the house? I would have. Yeah, he's sort of old right now. I mean, you know, celebrating his 78th birthday or something like that. He's dead, of course. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit. Again, what he's doing here, he's giving you instruction on how to live for the Lord down here that'll make some benefit for you over there.
Amen.
Hey, this is not the end. If I could stay 33 years old for the eternity, that'd be great. I think I will. But not down here.
Amen.
So this is for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that he may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Here again, what is his purpose in teaching this chapter? As you read these things, as he talks to married and unmarried, and talks about their situations and how they can get rid of the situations or get out of them or what they might best do in them. He's putting the Lord in all of it, and that's where the Lord ought to be.
That's right.
We ought to have the Lord and foremost in our thoughts in everything we do. When we buy a house, when we buy a car, whatever we do, we ought to have the Lord in our minds. Now, the very last part of this, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age or need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Now that looks like a fiancé and his girlfriend. But the next verse down here, nevertheless he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power of his own will, and even so hath decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. That looks like it's the father.
Yeah.
Now I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it applies, the first one applies to the couple that have decreed that that they will remain serving the Lord. And then the father in the second thing. It's the only way I can understand it. Because it does fit both places. And when I'm trying to say it's got to be one or the other, if I make the boyfriend, he doesn't fit the other verse. And if I make the father, he doesn't fit the first verse. So to me, I think we have an instruction there that first one will fit the fiancé and the second one will fit the father. Verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord.
Amen.
But she is happier if she abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Interesting chapter. You can spend a few hours on this one trying to figure out what he's talking about. But what he's trying to do is to keep you without distractions. He's trying to let you serve the Lord without all the problems that are in life. And that was the way he did it. He lived that life, and so he was backing up the life that he lived as being of the Lord. But he did not discount the average, the normal, is for people to get married.
Yeah.
Fall in love, get married, have kids, have grandkids, even have great-great-grandkids, Nelda. How many great-great? 22. Only 22. How about that? Well, Lord bless you.